This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Yesterday, we heard some modern holiday music from the Boston Pops. Today, let's drift back in time. This is the Boston-based vocal ensemble Blue Heron.
It's a group of singers, mostly, and we sing music from the 15th and 16th centuries.
Scott Metcalf is Blue Heron's artistic director.
It's music that I love very much. I find it very powerful and interesting and expressive, and there actually is not that much of it being performed live around here.
Because when you think of Christmas tunes, 600-year-old Renaissance music isn't exactly the first thing that comes to mind. But upon hearing what Metcalf has to say about Blue Heron's upcoming holiday program, you might want to consider giving the Nutcracker a pass.
When people think about this question, if they don't know 15th and 16th century music especially well, they will assume that later music becomes more accessible, somehow more human. And I think nothing could be farther from the truth. In the 15th century, in a five-voice piece, every single voice is equally important and equally interesting and equally textured. So it's a big conversation happening between people at a table where nobody waits for other people to finish what they're saying before they reply.
It was very vocal, right? It relied on singing more than instruments?
Art music in the 15th century is primarily vocal, absolutely.
So in that sense, doesn't it make that time period, the music, more human by definition? Because it's people.
You said it. I didn't have to say it.
Well, the program is separated into roughly three parts.
Yes.
Advent, Christmas, and New Year's. In the time period we're talking about, apparently Advent was a lot more serious than it is now. It wasn't just, you know, cardboard calendars that you open a door every day and have a piece of chocolate.
It's a period of repentance and seeking help. Then that plea is answered by Christmas and the birth of a savior.
Well, let's hear one of the songs that Blue Heron is going to perform. And this one is related to Advent, and it's called Factor Orbis.
This is one of the most complex pieces I know, actually, from the 15th century, which is a period that's in love with complexity. It begins with a duet between the top two parts on a freely composed text, which says, "Maker of the world, Factor Orbis, hear us crying to you and loosen our bonds on this day that brings light." And then two other voices enter, and you have this four-voice texture, and they're all saying, "Come, come, and do not delay." One of them says, "Behold, the Lord will come." And then the fifth voice finally enters, and it's down in the texture. It's the tenor singing a chant melody. And it says, "Sound the trumpet in Zion, because it's going to happen. It is going to happen. Tomorrow, salvation will be yours." And then this miraculous thing happens in the piece, which is that suddenly all this complex counterpoint, all these voices with different rhythms and different melodies, they all stop. And there's a duet for a short while, and that stops. And finally you get this texture called homophony. All the voices sing exactly the same words, exactly the same rhythm together. And there are suddenly lots of silences.
Creatus solus.
And it's breathtaking. And here they say, it's a again, a plea. Be a refuge for us, God, for you are the only one who considers our sorrows.
We can hear that it's this sort of impassioned, as you were saying, penitential journey and this self-reflection. Even I hear you describing this plea as well. But then the program moves into the joyfulness or the joyousness of Christmas.
Because we get an answer. The answer is yes. Well, this is a motet by Antoine Brumel, a French composer, and this is a Christmas piece, sung here by the Orlando Consort, I should say, not by Blue Heron. We don't have a recording of it at the moment. In a way, this is the Christmas answer to Factor Orbis, but the mood could not be more different because it's all happiness. Today we're singing about the birth of the Savior. And in fact, in the second half of this motet, there's a tune. It's a sort of Christmas carol. It's not really a pop tune, and but it's a Latin Christmas song, and Brumel puts it in. It's this sort of happy ya dum be da da dum ba da 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 be da dum bum ba. So, wow, pure happiness, pure fun in the middle of a very serious piece.
You know, 500 years ago, Christmas wasn't the highlight of the season, necessarily. In fact, it was New Year's?
Christmas is not Christmas as we understand it. Now, what is different about Christmas and New Year's is that at New Year's, at least in these courts run by the Valois, it's the dynasty that was in France and Burgundy in the 15th century, New Year's Day was the occasion when people gave gifts.
So that was when all the swag got handed out.
Yeah, and it's a vast amount of swag. The numbers are amazing. Philip the Bold, who's the Duke of Burgundy in the later 14th and early 15th century, he is reputed to have spent 6.5% of his annual budget on New Year's gifts.
6.5%?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, let's listen to one of Blue Heron's pieces from this time period, and this is by composer Guillaume Dufay. So, Scott, this is, I believe, Entre vous gentils amoureux?
Yep. You mentioned swag. There's a huge amount of swag thrown about. But one of the other kinds of gifts that people gave were songs. And the texts say, as this one just did, gentle lovers were gathered here to celebrate New Year's, so have a great year and don't be envious or greedy and be good and have a good time. Which I struck me as a kind of subversive message, actually, because this is being sung to all these nobles who, in fact, they are quite envious and greedy, and they're distributing vast amounts of money right and left. Their primary concern does not seem to be simply being happy and having a good time.
We're talking about this historical music, but if I remember correctly, in the 15th and 16th centuries, the singers were mostly male, if not all male.
In the issue is that men and women are not permitted to sing together in church. I mean, we are seriously burdened with sexism in our past in Europe.
So, but in Blue Heron, there are men and women.
Absolutely, yeah. What we are really interested in doing is we want to find out all this stuff to increase our understanding of the context, sort of contextualize these objects, these sort of remnants of culture which come down to us from a culture that's very other from what we have today. The more you find out about life and every aspect of culture in those days, you can, I think, then you just feel the music better. So the point of all of that study is to enhance your direct emotional contact with cultural products of real living people in the past. You know, we're so drugged by the availability of music 24/7 in digital form, but there is absolutely no substitute for being in a room with a real human being who's making music for you, especially a singer, eh?
Well, the purity of these voices just gives me the chills. So thank you so much for coming in and sharing the music with us.
Thank you. It's been a great pleasure.
Scott Metcalf is the artistic director of the Blue Heron Vocal Ensemble. This Friday and Saturday, they'll have two concerts celebrating Christmas in 15th century France and Burgundy. There's more information at radioboston.org. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at boston.com. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.